The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Howard, I think after this week, it wouldn't be remiss to have a Whiskey Friday right now.
Yes, because it is a reasonable time in Australia.
Absolutely, and just because we deserve it. Also, there are royal nuptials to be celebrated.
Yes, one of our listeners have just sent, "Dear Harry and Meghan, with mazel and brocha, may your families have lots of nachas. I hope you enjoy reading my book as much as I enjoyed writing it. Yours in royalty, Howard Feldman, Esquire." And what they've done is they've managed to find a photo of me signing a book that I gave to Harry and Meghan. Of course, I didn't really, but somehow that appeared on the internet. Well, there you have it. Listen, it's probably one of the more positive things about me on the internet this week. It hasn't been an easy week. Rolene, how's it been for you? I think anybody that deals with Israel and writes about Israel in the last week has had a very, very difficult time, no doubt.
It's been a very busy week, also speaking about Israel. I was called to, assist where I can in South Africa and various media in South Africa, as well as other media outlets around the world. And it has been a difficult week, and, we're going to talk about it in a second. And it's raised a lot of questions, not just from those of us I know you've also been at it 24/7, and I think all of us who write, commentate on Israel have been at it literally 24/7. And we're going to discuss whether we have learned anything, what needs to change. But one thing is for sure, in that the nearly 20 years that I've been doing this, I have never encountered venom and vitriol. And we've been through worse situations. We've been through wars. We've been through intifada. But nothing has been as bad as these past couple of days has been.
No, it really, really hasn't been. In fact, we just spoke with Tanya Curiel. I'm not sure if you were able to listen to that. They had 74 trillion people engaging in, or 74 trillion engagements, not people, in this subject. The sentiment, horribly, horribly negative, over 50% negative, and that's taking into account the positive. Would you say that Israel has lost this media round?
I'm going to have to agree with that statement. I think Israel has lost this media round, and there are a number of variables that we have to take into account. First of all, and I know this might outrage a few people out there, but I think that Israel really, really needs to learn to take the lead when it comes to situations like this. We knew that things would escalate around the 14th and 15th of May, and I don't think we were properly prepared for it.
From what? From a media perspective? Because from a IDF perspective, it does seem, now that we look back on it, you say 35,000 people marching, 60 people killed, any number of that is terrible, but we've got confirmation from Hamas themselves that 52 of them at least were terrorists. So if you look at that, did the IDF do badly? Well, I don't think so. But did they do badly? Did Israel do badly in the press? Absolutely. And something that I feel is that it's somehow left to people like you and me, and so it's diaspora supporters of Israel, as well as some fantastic organizations around the world and in Israel, who seem to be doing Israel's job in the PR department. What's your thought?
Well, I can agree with that statement. From a military perspective, yes, we won a decisive victory because Hamas were not able to infiltrate our borders. Right. From a PR perspective, we did get a thrashing. I was speaking to a very close friend of mine who is the former foreign desk head for the IDF, and he said this was like a terror attack in the media, and that is a pretty serious statement from somebody who was at the Battle of Jenin, who's been the spokesperson through two intifadas, through several wars. For him to say that this was a terror attack, but in the media, is a pretty strong statement. Also, I don't think, and we have this argument again and again, and it's raised, and I'm sure when you go out on speaking engagements, I know I certainly get it, the number one question: why is Israel's PR so bad? A lot of questions from Israelis ourselves: where is our foreign ministry in this? Where are our diplomats around the world in this? Where is our Ministry of Public Affairs in this? That we knew that this was coming, and we should have been adequately prepared. Also, just from a journalist's perspective, when we look for information, we need to get it from very credible sources. And now, after the horses bolted from the stable, we have Hamas admitting that they deceived the public and that these weren't peaceful protests, that 50 out of 60 killed were Hamas operatives. But when it comes to checking the types of injuries, the number of wounded, the number of dead, we don't have anybody from our side speaking to the media, which is a huge problem, because then we are forced to take comment from the Palestinian Health Ministry. And there is normally great doubt to whether those numbers are inflated or if they are true, because they do become yet another mouthpiece for Hamas. And this is why we have a problem. It's also very, very difficult. And I'm sure anybody who's been following this has heard about the split screen phenomenon a lot over the last week. It's very, very difficult when you're dealing with international news agents and you've got the split screen phenomenon where you have the pictures or the visuals coming out of Gaza, and then they juxtapose that with pictures of Ivanka Trump opening the American embassy. And I think it was the New York Daily News that had the front page saying Trump's ghoulish daughter.
It was very poor.
It's very poor. And you know what? We're not equipped to handle this. And this is where I think we need to call on everybody to become kind of armchair advocates.
I'm not even sure. My problem with that, Rolene, is, and I actually don't necessarily agree with you, because what I see happening as well is people get very, unless you somewhat trained, and I'm certainly no expert on this, and I haven't been at it for that long, but I've got an intuition, and I'm quite involved, and I understand this. My worry is that I see a lot of people on social media really saying things that are maybe more damaging than not. And
I have to agree with you there. This is the problem.
I think Israel's
this
created
is the problem
a vacuum
that it becomes emotional and not factual. And this is also a problem that comes from our side as well. Is that when you do respond, please try and to rein in the politics of blame and getting personal, and try and be more factual.
Yeah, and it's very interesting, because there's certain very tried and tested methods that the anti-Israel lobby use. You know, it was interesting because I got into this whole argument with Deep Fried Man, and he said, you know, I'm just trying to be popularist, etc. And I said, well, actually, that's hardly true. Look at my, if you look at my social media, you'll see that I'm hardly taking a popular position. And then he writes back, shame, I feel so bad for you defending the indefensible. Now, that was the one thing. 2 days later, he's writing this whole thing about what a victim he is, because the Jewish community is precluding him, and he feels so victimized by the Jewish community. Now, I made it very, very clear in response to him to say, listen, I disagree vehemently with your views, but I don't believe in you being victimized, and certainly you'd be welcome in my house and my home, and on my show even. So just to try and pull it back from that point of view. But the reality is that they'll use the same arguments against you that they're using for themselves. It's a very, very disingenuous, very, very disingenuous, and I would go so far as to say dishonest space. You know, the Reedy Klabi this week showed herself to be appalling. She was appalling in how she dealt with the Israel issue. It's never something I like to say easily, and I've long maintained that Reedy Klabi is not anti-Semitic. She's anti-Israel. But reading her tweets, I became very, very concerned that it did border on anti-Semitism. Gimple the Fool says, do you think a guy like Deep Fried Man, that's just who I was talking about a moment ago, does what he does because he wants to boost his awareness? It's unforgivable. Guys, Israel will never win the public opinion war. Maybe we won a day one after day two when it became clear that 85% are terrorists, but no press ever takes it back. They just ignore it. No, I don't believe that Deep Fried Man does this to boost his own awareness. I don't think so at all. I think this is a driving passion. I think he is absolutely genuine about what he believes. I disagree with it 1,000% his attitude, and I think he's somewhat blinded by what he's involved with. But do I think that he is doing it for awareness? No, I think it's coming from a genuine place, whether we like it or not. But of course, Raleen, the question is, is there a different way to approach Israel PR? Because I've heard nothing from the ambassador here in South Africa, and maybe that's not his role, but I would think so, surely.
Well, I have to agree with you there, and this is why we get very, very frustrated with our governmental ministries, because in a case like this week, where it is, and I'm going to say it again, we knew things would escalate on the 15th of May. Mm-hmm. We knew that the 15th of May would have been a bad day. We need, from our side, from Israel's side, we should have had all our spokespeople adequately prepared to go into the media and not have to leave people in our diaspora communities scrambling to get on to various media outlets. And I'm sure I'm going to get nailed for saying this, and I'm actually okay with that, because we make this mistake time and time and time again. And it's not just in South Africa. This is a phenomenon I'm hearing from all around the world. Mm-hmm. Where we haven't heard from our diplomatic corps as much as we should have. And it sends two messages out to the world. First of all, to the diaspora communities, it sends a message that we're not supported from Israel's side, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. from the which is really inexcusable. And from the international media side, it sends a message that there's no empathy. And this is very, very, very destructive. We cannot have a situation, especially one that is as nuanced and delicate as the one that we experience with our Palestinian neighbors, where we don't have any kind of sense of empathy. And that's one of the pervasive messages that I'm getting through here, is that we seem to show a lack of empathy for the other side. And guys, I see like many comments on social media, some too horrendous to repeat, but please take this into account. Very often we get led by our emotions and not by the bigger picture, and I'm really appealing to people that when we do have another situation like this, we start to become big picture thinkers and look at how it affects Israel, and look at the effect that it could have on communities around the world who are feeling more and more vulnerable.
Absolutely right. Unfortunately, Raleen Marks, there we do have to leave it. A very, very interesting and a very, very important conversation. And the fact that that we seem to both agree that at the end of a very, very difficult week, there does seem to be a feeling that, hold on a minute, we were on the front lines here to some extent. And obviously, I say that figuratively. Where was the Israeli government? Where were our diplomats? Where was the Israeli ambassador here in South Africa? This is not a time that they need to disappear and worry about what they're wearing to the next embassy open.